Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hey everyone, this is Klaatu, and we're continuing the Pantheon series from the Gods of Porphyra, which if you don't have a copy, you can purchase at drivethroughrpg.com/product/102872. Today's goddess is basically the most amazing goddess I've ever read about. When I first started reading her story, I kind of felt like it was a lot like a couple of different saints I could mention, but it just got better and better, so brace yourselves. Her name is Tulis, T-U-L-I-S. She is called the Martyr, the goddess of martyrdom, strength, and defiance. Her worshippers are slaves, the poor, or anyone who's oppressed. Her alignment is, of course, chaotic good, and her domains are liberation, nobility, protection, strength. Her subdomains are defense, freedom, martyr, and purity. Her favorite weapon is a longsword, and her favorite animal is cattle. Are cattle? Anyway, her legend goes a little bit something like this, and so it's hotly disputed, first of all, whether she ascended to godhood or whether she was a god in secret all along. No one's really clear on which is correct. Either way, she was a poor woman in serfdom to a great landowner named Roderick. And Roderick was, you know, a feudalistic lord, so he had a whole town underneath him. Now, naturally, Roderick, his attentions fell upon Tulis, and he wooed her and tried to get her into his bedchambers. She refused him, and when he asked why, she flat out told him that his heart was twisted and incapable of love. Well, Roderick didn't take kindly to that, and he took Tulis prisoner. He attempted to force her to love him at the beginning, with both words and gifts, but then he, of course, as it tends to go, progressed into threats. Now, when none of that worked, he resorted to torture. Now, physical torture. So to his frustration, he would torture her every day. And to his frustration, every wound that he inflicted upon her, he would come back the next day, and all of the wounds were healed, no matter what he did. So he kept doing this, and finally he became convinced that she actually felt no pain, and that she was just mocking him. Now, unknown to Roderick, Tulis wasn't just regenerating overnight. What was actually happening was that every night before she healed, she would shed her chains, walk right out of his prison, and walk among the people. And she would show them the extent of her wounds and what he was doing to her. The population was floored. She kept doing it every night. They were sympathetic and horrified. And eventually, this inspired them to rise up against their lord, Roderick. Once he saw that he had lost control of his population, he attempted one final victory. He declared Tulis, you know, evil or a witch or whatever he needed to say, tied her to a stake, and set it on fire. To, I guess, no one's surprise, she stood there burning, but she was healing even as she burned, so no harm was coming to her. So Roderick pulled out his longsword and ran her through, pinning her to the stake. Well, now she was armed. So her bonds fell away, she gripped the blade, pulled it out of her own chest, and used it to put an end to Roderick. The army of the oppressed found Tullus waiting for them when they arrived, and she congratulated them on their revolution and ascended to join, or maybe rejoin, the other gods. That's an amazing story. I know that I'm not doing it justice. I know that there are people who could give that with a lot more style, but it's just such an amazing story. I love it. I mean, it's like something. It's the first part is, it's just so predictable, right? It's like Saint Enid or something. It's just innocent girl gets hit on by creepy guy. Creepy guy goes way too far. Creepy guy burns her at the stake. Girl pulls, and then runs a sword through her. Girl pulls the sword out of her and kills him. I mean, that's really, really powerful stuff. So her church, the Church of Tullus, they follow two main tenets: humility and action. So priests and followers of Tullus are expected to spend time ministering to the sick, and to tithe generously and place the need of others before themselves. Where they see oppression, they are expected to act, to take action. They must do whatever they can do to rectify injustices and dismantle any system which allows any injustice to continue. Lay followers, normal people of the faithful of Tullus, are not held to strict standards in this situation, but priests must always be prepared to suffer for the church. Now, Tullus doesn't want her priests to waste their lives needlessly, but if their death would achieve a great goal, then they are expected to go so far as to give their life for whatever good they are trying to bring into the world. So you might say that Tullus has fairly high expectations, and she does. She doesn't really offer any kind of comfort in the time of trial. If you are going into battle or going to fight in a rebellion in order to quell injustice, your name will eventually be added to the Martyr's Song, which is Tullus's great song that describes how various clerics have given up their lives and what they've done in order to encourage and inspire her faithful. But other than that, there's nothing really promised to you. It's just an expectation that this is what you are going to do because Tullus is your god. There are two formal spell preparation rituals that Tullites carry out. Both revolve around the blessed horns made from consecrated cattle. So the first ceremony that one might perform is the simplest, the most common. Her clerics bleed a small amount into the horn and offer it as a sacrifice to Tullus. And at the end of that ritual, they just pour their own blood on the ground from the horn. The second ritual is one of a challenge, and it's something that you do before battle or when you're in a threatening area, but it also is a supplication for your spells. So you uncork and you blow your horn so as to announce the presence of someone who is ready to lay their life down for good. The rituals, at your DM's discretion, can actually render bonuses. The offering of blood can be a +1 bonus to the spell's DC, and the horn blowing, announcing your presence, will provide +1 to initiative. There are two religious traits, the scars of Tullus. Your creed is to stand between the helpless and the harm that is to befall them. You gain a +1 trait bonus on saving throws versus fear, and a +2 trait bonus on saving throws versus pain. Unlike other bonuses, these do stack for a possible of +3 bonus against combined pain and fear effects. And there's class warfare. You have taken Tullus's teachings of action in the face of injustice to heart. You gain a +1 trait bonus on damage when making melee attacks against beings of higher social status than you. So, I mean, this is why Chaotic Good is such an amazing, amazing alignment. It's goddesses like Tullus. This is her story is just exciting and just so cool. And then her goal in life is just so aggressively good. It's really, really inspiring. I think she's a great goddess. I mean, honestly, this is probably second to Valoria. This is probably my favorite god in this pantheon. She really brings that chaotic sense to the alignment, which, you know, with the other chaotic good god that we talked about already, Saren, sure, there's chaos, but it's more like the natural, there's the natural chaos of the natural world, of the forest, of the wild lands. Whereas this is truly, in the modern sense of the word, she's very chaotic. I could see barbarians being followers of Tulis. I could see rogues. I could see a fighter who's quite headstrong and eager to throw himself or herself into battle being a follower of Tulis. I can see, obviously, clerics. Evangelical not for the word of their god, but of action, of doing good. There's just so much for an adventurer going into combat to latch onto with Tulis. She's all about good, and she is about rushing in and doing something about a problem rather than sitting back and planning and plotting and thinking and analyzing. It sounds like she's really a lot more about just getting it done. And maybe that's a little bit reckless, and I'm sure that that can really work well in most campaigns that I've ever played in, at least. That tends to be something that happens. So I think she's perfect. She's spot on. She's exactly what your D&D campaign setting needs. Tulis is perfect. I don't see, honestly, me ever taking another god other than her. It could happen, and it's polytheistic, so I can have more than one, but she would definitely be on a list for most of my characters. So yeah, there's a lot of personal bias in this episode, but it's just such a cool story. There's not a whole lot to work with. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but it's just so aggressively so straightforward that it's kind of perfect. So that's what I've got on Tulis, and thank you for listening. I will talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.